Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God is good, and all the time. Happy Sabbath, everyone. You are a distinguished minority. Most of the world does not recognize God's seventh-day Sabbath. You have, and may the Lord bless you for that. How was your day? Thank God for that. No one who woke up this morning had a guarantee of seeing the day through. I hate to say things that are morbid, but many people who woke up this morning are now sleeping the eternal sleep. It happens every day. Never take life for granted. It is an ongoing gift from God. The very breath you're taking now is a gift from God. And it is based on the fact that Jesus paid the price for sin. Remove Calvary and none of us would survive. And so let us always live with the consciousness that in him we live. Come on, and move, say it, and have our being. There is no life outside of Christ. There is no existence outside of Christ. Our subject for this evening, a peculiar people. Tell me what I just said. A peculiar people. Before I begin, you know how peculiar I am. I prefer you to use a Bible instead of a phone, if you don't mind, so that we all look churchy. Second favor I ask is that you pray for me while I speak. All I want you to say is, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That, of course, is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And the third favor I ask is that you think, and that should come easily, you all bright people. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God calls upon us to reason. And if you reason honestly, you will find the teachings of the Bible will appeal to your mind. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, thank you for your love, dear God. Thank you for your watch care over us. Thank you, Father, for preserving us during the day and bringing us safely without accident to this house of worship. As we bow in your presence, we recognize you, Father, as a holy God. And so if we've offended you in any way, we ask you to forgive us. And you're able to do that because of the sacrifice of Christ. Now grant to us your Holy Spirit. Because Jesus tells us in John 16:13, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Father, let your Spirit guide our minds, or we will misguide ourselves. A special blessing on our two guests today, God. We're so delighted they have come to worship with us. Bless them in every possible way. Bless their families. And let their experience tonight be such that they will be induced to come back and worship with us again. Father, wherever people are connecting via the internet to this service, be with them, Father. Touch them personally and touch them as families. And the Spirit moving among us in this building, let that selfsame Spirit touch them, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. What's our subject? Let us look at one of the realities of the spiritual life. Let's go to Matthew 24. We read verse 4 and verse 5. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, our subject, a peculiar people. It is 20 after 8. I should be done by 9, if not before. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. And I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. When you found it, say amen. Read with me if you have my version. What does it say? As Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying what? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Okay. The disciples wanted to know, when shall these things be? And what shall be a sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means. Not by speaking, not by a tape, not by a newspaper, not by an advertisement. Let no man deceive you by any means. Go to Revelation 12. Let's read from verse 7. Revelation 12, reading verse 7. A peculiar people is our subject. Last book of the Bible, chapter 12, reading from verse 7. The Bible says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now read 9 with me. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Stop. The whole world is under deception. Now, I've told you before on previous occasions, when you read the whole world, you must understand except a few. Because if the whole world were deceived, no one could be saved. What the Bible is saying, the overwhelming majority of the world is deceived. Now, through knowledge of God's word, many can be undeceived. But as things stand, the dragon deceiveth the whole world. The dragon is a term for the devil in the Bible. Notice what he is. The devil, the dragon, the serpent, Satan. Four names. As Satan, he's an accuser. As the devil, he's an adversary. As the serpent, he's a deceiver. And as the dragon, he's a destroyer. But the method he applies most often is that of the serpent as a deceiver. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Now, it is criminal for me to deceive you. That's criminal. It is tragic when you deceive yourself. Let's go to James 1. James 1, we'll read verse 26. A peculiar people is our subject. I said it's a crime when one person deceives another. It's a tragedy when a person deceives himself or herself. James 1, 26. When you found that, say amen. Read with me. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It is possible to deceive yourself. Here's what the Bible advises us. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Here is some counsel none of us should avoid or disregard. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Do we have that? All right, some of you are still looking. That's fine. All right, read with me. Examine yourselves, come on, whether ye be in the faith. Keep reading. Prove your own self. Stop. The Bible calls upon us, look at yourself. Are you in the faith? Now, it didn't say, examine yourself, are you physically in a church building? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Look at your life. It may be an unsettling and an ugly experience, but look at your life. Is that what God wants of you and me? Examine yourselves. Now, here is a point on which I want us to examine ourselves. Question, are we children of God? All right, you say yes with unrestrained confidence. But we need to examine ourselves and see if we are children of God or simply members of the church. It is not church membership that places you in the kingdom. It is connection with Christ. Now, they go together because Christ has a church. And he's the head of that church. Do not misunderstand me. But step one is to connect to Christ, and then he connects you to his church. As in the case of Paul, when he met Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. He met Christ. Then he said, what do you want me to do? And Christ said, go to that church in Damascus. They'll tell you what to do. But it begins with a connection with a man who is also God, and his name is Christ. And so the question tonight is, are we children of God? If we take the biblical advice to examine yourselves, what might the results be? What does it mean to be a child of God? And can we acknowledge whether we are or not without running the risk of deceiving ourselves? Let's go to Exodus 3. We'll read from verse 7, or just verse 7 of Exodus 3. A peculiar people is our subject. 25 after 8. For those of you who have somewhere to rush to after the service, I'm conscious of that and sensitive to it, so I'll try to end by 9. You have Exodus 3, verse 7. Let's read. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of whom? My people, which are where? In Egypt, and have by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. By the way, God knows what you're struggling with. He knows your sorrows. And he can sympathize through Christ, because Christ had sorrows. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If you have sorrows, the Bible says he knows your sorrows. Right where you sit, God knows what you're wrestling with. He knows the agony your children cause you. He knows the stress your spouse causes you. He knows the mental torture your boss causes you. He knows your sorrows. He knows you need tuition and you're about to be thrown out of school. He knows all of that. I know the sorrows. But look at the verse again. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of whom? My people are. What is it we'll examine tonight? Are we God's people? I have surely seen the affliction of my people. What made them my people? Go to Psalm 24. We'll read verse 1. Let's lay down a foundation stone as we try to understand my people and what that might mean. Psalm 24, we'll read verse 1. Psalm 24, reading verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And so in a general sense, everybody, finish my words, belong to God. I said in a general sense. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ came to die for the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, generally speaking, we all belong to God by virtue of the fact that he is creator, and by virtue of the fact that the cross of Christ provides a probationary covering for the world. What do I mean by a probationary covering? Well, here's a sinner who's not yet met Christ, and because of Calvary, God's hand is over that man, giving him an opportunity to come to Christ. Are you with me? You go down to Detroit or Chicago or Philadelphia, you buy a condemned house. Are you with me? Why is it condemned? It is not fit for habitation. You buy it, it's now yours. It is still in a condemned state. But the city gives you a certain amount of time to do what? Fix it up. So Christ bought a condemned house, the world. Are you following me? And he has so much time to fix it up. But we have to invite him to fix us up. And if the house isn't fixed, it goes back to a condemned state and it's destroyed by the wrecking ball. If it is fixed, then people can inhabit it. And so the blood of Christ is Christ buying this condemned world. And he wants to fix it up that it may be fit for divine habitation. Are you following me? And so the cross of Christ provides probationary mercy for the whole world. In that sense, the whole world is God's. But there is a most specialized sense in which a person is a child of God. Now let's say in Exodus, but chapter 19. So Exodus 19, we'll read from verse 1. When you found that, say amen. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert and Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, what? Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, tell them what? Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now God tells Moses to tell the people. In a certain sense, they were his because he brought them out. The message God gave to Moses for Pharaoh to do what? Let my people go. But they were God's people in the sense that they were Abraham's descendants. Are you with me? They were God's people in the sense that they were Abraham's descendants. But they were not yet God's nation in a peculiar relationship with him. He brought them out of Egypt to do that. Listen again to his words. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now, were the Egyptians God's people in the general sense? Yes. But did he crush them? Yes. For whom? People closer to him. There are degrees of closeness to God. We see that even among the disciples. The closest disciples to Christ, name them Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. On sensitive missions, Christ only took Peter, James, and John. Our opening scripture, Matthew 24, 3 and 4, on the Mount of Olives. When shall these things be? It was Peter, James, and John. On that occasion, they had Andrew, Peter's brother. When Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane to suffer, he took 11 disciples. Judas was gone. He left 8 at the gate of the garden, took Peter, James, and John further into the garden with him. There are degrees of closeness to God. So when someone says, I'm a child of God, fine. What do you mean? The Egyptians were covered by the blood of Christ. Look what God did to them for the sake of a group closer to him because of Abraham. But they needed to get closer. Here's how they were to get closer to God. Verse 4, Exodus 19, our subject, a peculiar people. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. When they were in Egypt, where were they? God couldn't say, I've brought you unto myself while they were in Egypt. In order for him to say that, he had to get them out of Egypt. God could not save them in Egypt. Now, in these last days, he cannot save you if you stay where? In Babylon. So the cry is what? Come out. Come out. From false teaching, from biblical deceptions, come out. And so Jesus tells us in John 10:16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must leave where they are, and I will save them where they are. What does the Bible say? Them also I must bring. The Lord cannot save a man who is determined to stay in Egypt. He calls us out. And so while they were in Egypt, they were the descendants of Abraham, yes. So they had a special relationship to God because of Abraham. But they needed to decide for themselves, do we want to be close to God? He said, I brought you out. Eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. What's our subject? Based on what? But based, what's the condition contained in that verse? Obey. Obey. If you do what I say, you'll have a relationship with me no other nation on earth has. Yet my son died for everybody. Of course, back then he hadn't died yet. He's coming to die for everyone. If ye obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You see, you look at verse 6, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. You look at verse 5, if ye keep, obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, when you do that in verse 5, the result is what we find in verse 6. You are made a holy people. Ah, you didn't get it? I said it clumsily. Let me try it again. Obedience is the means by which we develop holiness. Look at verse 5 again. Listen. If ye now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me. This obedience, is verse 5, will make you a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. No disobedient person can be holy. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In Spirit of Prophecy, volume 1, page 394, paragraph 1. Let me give you that again. Spirit of Prophecy, volume 1, page 394, paragraph 1. Here's what the author writes. They were a peculiar people because they alone among all the nations of the earth preserved the true worship of God by keeping His commandments. The peculiarity of the Israelites lay in the fact that they obeyed, or they were called to obey, at least they had, the commandments of God. A peculiar people. A holy nation. Of course, Peter mentions that in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. A royal priesthood. The question now comes to us, am I a child of God? And if I say yes, why do I say yes? Let's read one of the most unpleasant verses in the entire Bible. John 8, verse 44. 20 minutes to 9. John 8, verse 44. Our subject, a peculiar people. Before we read John 8, 44, you know the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys? What made Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're popularly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I don't like those Babylonian names. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. What made them strange? They would not do what? Bow, which would be violation of what? Commandments 1 and 2. Because of their stand on God's law, they were strange. And their lives were threatened. You see, there's a price that comes with being obedient to God. The price may be loss of life, loss of material possessions, loss of your standing in society. Obedience to God has a cost, as verily as salvation of a sinner has a cost. A lot of us want to be saved with no cost. Let Christ pay all the cost. To carry a crown, to wear a crown, you must carry a cross. And so Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, among all the people, nations, and languages gathered before that image, they refused to bow. They were peculiar on the basis of their obedience. If they had bowed, they would have lost their what? Peculiarity. Many young people in college, they don't want to be peculiar. They leave home as Christians. They get to the campus. Their colleagues are smoking, drinking, going to parties, cussing, whatever they do. And they feel strange. So they join in so as to ease the burden of peculiarity. Now, those smoking and drinking and whatever, they don't feel funny, so let's go to church. Are you with me? The church young people feel funny, so they go join the carousers. And God is disgraced. Those three boys, they maintained their peculiarity. They stood on commandment 1, commandment 2, commandment 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because that which you bow to is your God. And the image was made. Now let's read John 8:44. You have it? Listen to Jesus. Ye are of your father, the devil. Why? The lusts of your father ye will do. Now, what made the Israelites peculiar according to God? Doing what God said. What makes a child of Satan a child of Satan? The lust of your father you will do. So in obedience to God, you become a child of God. In opposition to God, a person becomes a child of the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now the question becomes, are there members of the church who are children of the devil? No, don't answer me. Examine, what does the verse say? Your own self, whether ye be in the faith. Don't come to the second coming of Christ and be shocked that you're not admitted to heaven. Don't wake up in the second resurrection. Now is the time, says the Word of God, examine yourself. A friend of mine sent me a text. I said, did you go to church last Sabbath? No. Did you go to Sabbath before? No. I said, this can become a habit. Because no matter how tired you are, you go to work. Am I talking to myself? No matter how tired you are, you go to work. But you're too tired to go to church. But you're a child of God. Some snow falls. Oh, we can't come to church, but we go to work. And everybody loves Jesus. And so Jesus says, ye are of your father, the devil. Why? The lusts of your father ye will do. When we do the desires of God, we're God's child. When we do the desires of the devil, we're the devil's child or children. A peculiar people is a people who do the will of God above everybody else's word. You know, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus is preaching in a house. The house is crowded. And the people say to him, behold, thy mother and thy brother without seek for thee. And he said to them, who is my brother? Who is my mother? In other words, who is my family? It had nothing to do with biology. Verse 35, I believe it is, of Mark 3. He said, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Now that's Jesus. That's a child of God. Notice the condition. You see, the voice that spoke in Exodus 19, verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, that's the same voice that spoke in Mark 3, 35. Did I say that clearly enough? It's the same Jesus. Now, he wasn't called Jesus then, but you need to understand the God of the Old Testament is the same person that walked the streets of Galilee. Now, he spoke for his father on Sinai and in Galilee. He always has. But his words were, if ye obey my voice, indeed. Not just in word. There's a lot of lip service for God. You got to obey indeed, not just in word. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. The same person says, whoever doeth the will of God, which is obey, and the will of God is his law, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. That's the family of God. And so tonight I ask you again, and I ask myself, am I a child of God? Do I live a peculiar life? Not because I wear strange-looking clothes, but because I live by a set of standards. Not legalistically, but righteously. And you alone can answer the question. But the Bible invites you and me, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Now, why is that critical? Because Jesus says there are two kinds of people in the church. Name them. The wheat and the tares. The wheat belonged to whom? God. Who planted the tares? The Bible says an enemy hath done this, and the enemy is Satan. Who is it that converts us? Well, the Holy Spirit converts us to God. The devil also converts people. Mm-hmm. But he converts them to him and sends them into the church. Ah, you didn't hear what I said. The devil converts people and sends them into the church. Satan's most effective agents are in the church, not the casino. You know why they're so effective? Because you can't spot them. Camouflage. And the camouflage is having a form of godliness. Are you following me? Camouflage is used widely. There is a snake in the southern part of the United States. I think it was it called the copperhead? You know, red on black, venom black, red on yellow, kill a fellow. Have you heard that? Now, this venom snake, if you look at the coloration, if red is next to yellow, it'll kill you. It's venomous. But there's another snake that looks just like it. But if it's a red on yellow, it's red next to black. But you've got to look closely. But no one wants to look that closely. Everybody just runs. But it's fine. But the one snake looks like the other. That's a form of camouflage. Just look dangerous and nobody bothers you. Then there's a lizard. It's a lizard called a chameleon. Just change his color and you can't tell where he is on the tree. He looks just like the tree. The tares in the church look just like the wheat. That's why Jesus says, no, let me pluck them out. Because you can't tell the difference unless you're really close to God. But let's not worry about the tares. Let's worry about us, about me. Am I a child of God? And if I say yes, why? And the answer need not be because I'm sinless, because none of us is sinless. The answer must be, I try by the grace of God to live my life by the standard of righteousness. I try by the grace of God to make God proud in my life. I try by the grace of God not to mislead anyone who observes me. Are we a peculiar people? You alone must answer that. Said differently, are we children of God? If you think in your mind right now you are not a child of God as you examine yourself in the pew where you are, you can leave this church as a child of God. You don't have to go to 6 weeks of boot camp as in the army. That change can come about by a decision. Father, I want to be a child of yours. and I give my life to you. In that instant of that 100% commitment, you become a child of God. Now you have to learn to walk like a child of God. In that instant. Let me say it again. If there's someone listening to me in this building via the internet, you are unsure if you are a child of God, if you qualify as my people, you can fix the uncertainty by giving yourself to God 100%. And walk out of this church as a child of God, determined by His enabling grace to walk and live as a child of God. You know the condition? Obedience to God. The problem with the modern world is disobedience to God's law. That's the problem with the world. Disobedience to God's law. It is no different from the condition in the days of the flood. Disobedience to God's law. We will live our way, not God's way. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's the universal deception. I am right in my own eyes when I examine myself based on God's magnifying glass. I have to pray the prayer of David in Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my. Try me and know my. And see if there be what? Any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. This must be our daily prayer. My brothers and sisters, you heard last night's message, those of you who came. There is a paradise prepared for you. From how far back? The foundation of the world. Don't miss it. People pay money to go to Disney World and spend their money on rides and look at people dressed up as Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Bugs Bunny and whoever else and Beelzebub. And they spend money for that. God has prepared a paradise. He really has. And God can't get Christians to believe it. We're so accustomed to this polluted world, all the poisons in the atmosphere. We're so accustomed, it is difficult for us to conceive. The Bible says God has prepared another world for His children. But that world, according to the Bible in 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Finish the verse. Wherein dwelleth righteousness is right doing. This world will be populated by those who love to do what's right. You put a sinner in that world, the sinner will ask to be killed. He will not be able to take the righteousness all around him or her. But to prepare for that world, I say again, to prepare for that world, we must live now as if we're already in that world. We must live as the children of God. And I give you one more time the condition. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. God wants to have a special relationship with you that is close, intimate. No one can get between you and Him. That's what He wants. Because the safest life to live, the most regret-free life to live, is a life in obedience to God. So you don't get to your 60s, 70s, or 50s and say, I wish I had. I wish I listened to my mother and not smoked. I would have kept two lungs instead of one. I wish I listened to my professor and studied. I would have been in a responsible job rather than flipping burgers, which is fine if that's all you can do. Obey God. All He wants for you is the best. That's all He wants. The best. Now, you can't see that. Now, parents, you know what I'm talking about. Your child is 10 and he's trying to tell you what to do. Are you with me? Now, you know the path the child is headed is the path of headaches and heartaches and stress. You know that. The child can't see it. God knows the beginning from the end. We are His children. He sees if you stay on that path, you're headed for regret and pain and sorrow. And so He begs us. He pleads with us, and tonight He's doing the same thing. Obey me. It is the condition for being a child of God. And he or she who is a child of God may be harassed by the devil from time to time, but can never be possessed by the devil. He or she who is a child of God may be bothered by the devil from time to time, but God only allows it to let the devil see how strong and tough you are. Tonight, I recommit my life to God. I recommit my life to God. And I ask him to dwell within me in his mysterious way and enable me to live moment by moment a life that glorifies him. How many will say, Father, I commit my life to you tonight fully. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me if you mean it. So 5 to 9. I have one more question to ask. You've stood as a general congregation, but I want to get individual and personal. Is there a man or a woman listening to me now? In the course of the message, you've looked at yourself. Perhaps you've been looking at yourself for weeks and months, and you realize a change needs to take place in my life. Because you yourself see the danger of the direction in which you're headed. And you want to turn around and say, Father, here is my life. From tonight, I want to walk with you. Is there someone like that? If that appeal applies to you, come. You've been examining your life. You realize you're headed in the wrong direction. This has been on your mind. It has been confirmed by tonight's message. And you want to say, God, I need to stop this movement in this direction. I'm giving my life to you now. From tonight on, let's walk together hand in hand. If that applies to you, come. We'll pray. Quickly, I'll let you go. Doesn't take God long to do something in your life. Listen carefully. You've looked at your life, not just tonight, in the months just past, the years. You realize this is the wrong direction. These things in my life are the wrong trends. They need to stop before I reach the point where I cannot come back. And you'll say tonight, Father, from tonight, take my hand and you guide me. Come. And the Lord will take your hand spiritually. He took the hand of the Israelites, led them out of Egypt. That's what the Bible says. Come. We'll pray. We'll pray sincerely. And then we'll go. I repeat the call. You've been looking at your life. You are aware you are moving in the wrong direction. You need to stop. And tonight you'll say, Father, take my hand. And you walk with me. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Walk in God's direction. Don't ask God to walk in yours. And so you're putting your hand in God's hand tonight. And you're telling him, Father, walk with me. Lead me and direct me. Anybody else? I want you to come with all your heart and soul and mean it. A surrender to God that's partial is not a surrender. It's a negotiation. You don't negotiate with God, you surrender. You don't negotiate with the devil either. It's surrender to one or the other. Christ said, he does not with me, is against me. Black and white, plain. Anybody else before I pray? I'm moving in the wrong direction, Father. And I have a little honesty left to confess that. Tonight, I'm putting my hands in yours. You guide, you direct. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the invitation to be a child of God. It is a protected life. It is a blessed life. It is an empowered life. It is a life for which you take responsibility. Father, I'll say that again so your sons and daughters may hear. When a life is surrendered to you, you become responsible for every aspect of that life. The financial, the social, the educational, the family life. You become responsible because a life given to you becomes yours. Now those for whom Christ shed his blood, they have come to this altar to say, Father, I recognize I have been moving in the wrong direction. The trends in my life are negative. I want to stop. And I've come tonight, God, to put my hands in your hand as a way of saying, I surrender to you. Take my life and direct me. Dear God, do that for these men and women, these boys and girls, because you have said in your own word, 2 Peter 3:9, who you are not willing that any should perish. Your word says, 1 Timothy 2:4, you will have all people to be saved. Father, you don't lie. And because you don't lie, accept these men and women, boys and girls, take their hands, and right now begin the process of guiding them and directing them as your children. And for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, resisting because he or she is attracted to the life he or she lives, Father, work tirelessly in the person's heart until he or she realizes, I need to go to my God. because the pleasures of the world are brief. Please, God, I pray not only for those in this building, I pray for the precious souls listening via the internet. Someone listening needs to stop the direction in which he or she is moving and put the hand in God's hand. Let your Spirit move that person to make that decision now, and perhaps to write us and tell us that he or she has surrendered to God. Father, Jesus says, those you've given him, none can pluck them from his hand. Now, Father, surround us, wrap your arms around us, draw us deep into your bosom, dear God. Where not even angels are drawn. And let us fall in love with a righteous life. Let us rejoice in the privilege of being called a child of God. And give us a willingness to obey from the heart. Hear this humble prayer, oh God, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.